Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You fell asleep in my car, I drove the whole time. But that's okay, I'll just avoid the holes so you sleep fine. I'm driving here, I sit, cursing my government for not using my taxes to fill holes with more cement.
Hey folks, and welcome back from a bit of a hiatus to the WSB Traffic Podcast here. We've been
sheltering in place.
Something like that, yes, for sure. Smilo Mart McKay is alongside me. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull. We commandeer, that's not really the best word for it, but we get to fly in the helicopter, smiling in the mornings most of the time, me in the afternoons, and survey the skies and survey Atlanta traffic. And we need to probably, before we dig into anything specific, Smiling, we should give people a little bit of an idea of the arc we've dealt with since about March the 13th or so, or really the week of March 10th, 13th, around there, and how we've retooled traffic reporting and what we've seen. It's like it all went away at once, and it's slowly coming back.
That date that you mentioned, Doug, was the beginning part of a vacation week that I had, and I had to make some quick decisions as to where I was going to go back then. And I'm sure I'm just like a lot of people. And as we enter the summer months now, what are you going to do? And I remember going ahead with a trip to Savannah, even though Savannah did not have their St. Patrick's Day parade. And then I immediately came back, was supposed to go to New York, and I said, you know, Doug, I think things are a little busy here. Let me go ahead and I'll take my rest of my vacation week, because it got crazy in a hurry. And the traffic that we saw, the delays that we saw on a regular basis in the springtime, magically disappeared, as did any kind of vibrant nature of any neighborhoods, including mine, which is Buckhead. It was bizarre, and now we're back on the upswing again.
Well, it's certainly back on the upswing, but I think people may have had this idea that stuff was going to go away that quickly, which was crazy, but then it would come back as quickly, and it certainly is not. If you look over time, those weeks in March and certainly up until Easter in April, and it was the weekend that I got married, actually, April the 25th, when we had the first phase of reopenings, the phase one, the whole bowling alley, massage parlor jokes or whatever, mm-hmm. Nail salon jokes.
Tattoo.
That's what happened. Yeah,
gotta get that
10-pin tat. But that was sort of the first phase of it. And I remember that Friday, April the 24th, driving around going, dang, like this almost feels like a Friday. Mm-hmm. We still haven't seen levels pre-pandemic, but Smiling, you and I could compare and contrast the differences of traffic coming back in morning and PM drive. So in PM drive, it doesn't feel like pre-pandemic, but there are certain delays we can isolate on certain afternoons, and I'll make sure and say it on the air. This almost looks like early March traffic mm-hmm. on the downtown connector. I see at least one place, if not multiple, every day without crashes where it starts to almost look like pre-pandemic. You, on the other hand, and I filled in for you or worked on the morning shift a couple of times during the pandemic, it's been a different story.
It has been. We're still waiting for the crowd. I think a lot of people are sleeping in, to be honest with you. I think it's later starts. We didn't have the school buses. It would be normally break now, summer break for all the school systems, including the university. So we would have already gotten into the quote-unquote summer lull, which we never really had back pre-pandemic. But it's a late arriving crowd. And, of course, if there is an incident, let them take away one lane like they did this Monday morning as we're taping on the West Freeway, and have that happen between 7:30 and 8:30. That's going to cause a big crowd coming out of Lithia Springs, and we saw that this morning. But other than that, it's been a smooth flow for morning drive heading into and through the downtown area.
It's been surprising to me, because you would think so then it begs the question, and I even talked to the DOT commissioner about this, and I talked to some folks at the traffic data firm NRIX when we were earlier in the pandemic, and they were giving us numbers of how the traffic had dropped off. Why is it then that midday and PM traffic is up, but it had to come from somewhere? Why isn't the morning traffic up too? And of the idea, especially say a month or 6 weeks ago, was in the mornings, people are sleeping in, they're working from home, but then you're pinned up all day and it's time to go run an errand. It's or maybe your job has changed, or maybe you go into the office late, but you still got to come home later in the day. And that's what the DOT commissioner Russell E. Murray said was the reason in history long before the pandemic that Fridays are always so much worse than the afternoons. The mornings would be like a ghost town,
right.
And then the afternoons crazy because people want to travel, people want to get out and run errands, people want to go out and have fun, or maybe there's practice for the kids, whatever. And that's the difference right there, and we're still seeing it now. So in the afternoons, we're seeing 85 daily have congestion now up in that infamous 285 and then Jimmy Carter merge points and those merge points, and then up in Suwanee. 400 still has been quiet. 75 gets a little bunched up through Marietta, and then on 575 at Bell's Ferry. 285 slows a little bit at its joints with 75 and 85 on the north side and with I-20 on both sides of town. And then the south side, too. Man, the south side, I feel like that's even worse in comparison to other interstates as far as the volume coming back because there are a lot of people that are choosing to drive instead of fly.
That's exactly what
I was thinking. Air travel is down 80%.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Now that we're into the summer months, where a lot more families, individuals, whoever, are going to get in the vehicle and go somewhere that's not going to be that far away and not necessarily take a flight. That's another aspect that we get to see that maybe people don't is the reduced flight patterns going into Hartsfield-Jackson when you literally could see just jetliners in those early morning hours before the sun rose, all hanging in the sky, the ones that were coming from overseas coming into Hartsfield. And that was a bit shocking not to see that traffic, the air traffic. But the mornings, we wait. But Scott Slade said this on Atlanta's Morning News that our research has shown about half of our listeners listen to Atlanta's Morning News apps on their smartphones, on their smart devices, online from home. So we're seeing that trend. Mark Arum's fiancée is a teacher. She's if Maya could stay at home every morning, she would. Think about all these teachers that either worked from home with their kids, not getting out. They would love to be able to sleep in like they do. So we're seeing, the mornings are a little different, but what if there's an issue out there, things get stacked up in a hurry.
Yeah, they really do. And that's why, again, we have cautioned at each one of these traffic podcasts since this all started and the traffic show that we did right on the weekend this all started and Gridlock Guy columns I've written for the AJC. Is you've got to prepare for your ride. Now, maybe now as much than ever before you knew, oh God, this is going to be a 30-minute slog here. Well, lately it's been only a 10 or 15-minute slog. But the traffic is slowly coming back, and when there is a problem, that's when you can really tell how many people are there because they all back up. Yep. Now it's taking smaller and smaller problems to create those big backups.
And we have unusual problems, like the one, if it's the summer months, I love watermelon. I picked up some watermelon the other day. But guess what we had that went over?
I hope those from Publix were shopping as a pleasure.
On I-75 northbound, an interesting story up in leaving northwest Atlanta one morning. There was unusual delays that we picked up on the Triple Team Traffic Alerts app. Got the jam cams going, Veronica Harrell and Ashley and I. And I'm not sure if Mark may have been off. Either way, it was a...
Aaron was off.
It was one of those... it was like when we started looking closer to the camera, we have the ability to zoom in. It's like, what is that? What is that material? Oh, no. Could it have been an animal that was hit?
Ugh.
What was it? Because it did, but the cameras having the clarity that they do in some spots, including that one at Cumberland Boulevard. And so Veronica picked up the phone, and she called Cobb County Police. What are you guys working on, 75 north of the river? Oh, a load of watermelons went off. So the fire department came in, and all they had open was the HOV ramp onto the Acres Mill traffic. So they had the interstate shut down. Fire department comes in. You would think that would be an easy hose-off job.
Yeah.
No. They had to bring a bobcat in to finish the process to put all of the watermelon pieces onto the side of the road.
Now, how big, watermelons are what, 10, 15 pounds? I mean, I don't know exactly how heavy that is, but they think if you're having to shovel multiple ones, that's not an easy job without some heavy equipment there. And then I remember you saying, or the collective, you, Veronica, Ashley, calling it a sticky mess too. Did you get some inkling that they were having to do something extra with the fluid they were cleaning up that was spilling out of the watermelons, or was it just a...
Well, I just know the watermelons that I do bring home from Publix for shopping is a pleasure. Sometimes start to leak watermelon juice in the bag and it gets all over your refrigerator. But Doug, this is the second time this has happened. This happened. I know you are brilliant. You're a savant when it comes to this. I can't believe I pulled this up thinking about this. I-85 at 985.
Yeah, 3 years ago.
What? See, I knew you.
I looked it up for the Gridlock Guy. I didn't remember it off the top. I thought it was more recent because now
this
I'm
just came
older,
to my mind. This is not the first time.
Yeah, so, and 75 at northbound ramp to 285 east in Clayton County in 2015 also.
See, The difference, you went to the Google. I like that. The difference with this one and the other ones, at least the one that I flew over in Gwinnett County, we didn't have the helicopter. We were down because of the low clouds. We didn't fly that morning.
Right.
So we had to depend on that one camera that we were able to zoom in. That's why it was like at the beginning, we didn't want to think the worst.
Right.
But I said, but they're not doing an investigation. Fire department came in very quickly and started hosing down the roadways.
Right, right.
So then Veronica made the call to the Cobb County Police. Oh, those are watermelons. So,
God, that is, yeah. And the thing is, when you have stories like that, or when you have a live, loose animal, or maybe a truck that tips over and doesn't hurt the animals and they get out, although they cause tremendous backup for the people stuck there, it's more fun to talk about that and then stuff where people get hurt. I mean, that's not fun at all. So you're going from zero on the fun meter to, oh, it's funny, it's watermelons. Then you can make sure, hey, say traffic's real rhymed over here. Here's the seat of the problem. Here's the, you know, you're seeing red. You know, and all this. You can do that with those. You can't do that with awful things that we cover. And certainly we've had our share of those with the speeds being up on the roads. But now the speeds are starting to come down a little bit. One thing, though, to juxtapose, when we say traffic, and so some data that DOT released just a couple of weeks ago, traffic in Georgia overall is 10% lighter. Only 10%. At one point it was like 40% down. Now it's only 10% down compared to what it was a year ago, which is really the same as what it was pre-pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's coming back in a lot of ways. And a couple of things to observe out of that. Number one, in more rural areas, and I mean, you don't have to go far to say rural. I just mean outside of the city of Atlanta, it's already back to about 100%.
Oh.
But in the cities where you have more telecommuting options because it's a more business-type area, and frankly, let's face it, this falls along political lines. City areas might be more progressive. There's a study, in fact, you could even see that if you look to your right there, smiling, you see it's Neil Hondo Williamson sent it to us from Inside Radio. In the top, I think it's 26 radio markets in the country, markets 11 through 26 polled using whatever data they have, their traffic is almost all the way back to normal. But the top 10 markets, which are markets are based on population size, traffic is still down a little bit. So it's like the higher the population, the more likely it is your traffic's down, because in those areas, you have more options to take this seriously, and the political mindset might be to take it more seriously.
And didn't you hear the conversation that Scott Slade and I got into briefly on Atlanta's Morning News about major metropolitan areas? We'll see, and Atlanta is that, but we're a little different. Major metropolitan areas, let's call it New York, let's call it Philadelphia, Washington, we'll see an increase in traffic because people are afraid to get back into the public transportation system. And I kind of said, well, you know, Atlanta still hasn't gone there completely yet in terms of public transportation. We may not have that.
I think you nailed it. The change in New York may be more abrupt or...
Because they're going to jump in their own vehicles, as opposed to...
Here, we're a car culture, so you're socially distanced already. Yeah, that's a great point. But it's something that's worth asking, too. And if you want a sustainable traffic... I know people hate that word, sustainable, but if you want to have a plurality of avenues to travel, you need to have MARTA to be able to sustain itself. Mm-hmm. And MARTA can't sustain without having some ridership. And I think a lot of people, I mean, myself included, I'm actually going to make a bold move and try to do some air travel this coming weekend and just to fly to Florida. And I don't want to take MARTA to the airport, and that's usually my go-to. I live right next to a MARTA station, and I don't want to.
It's funny you said that. I utilize that. That's part of my weekend routine. So I'm not driving on the weekends, at least if I'm out in the evening, and I'll ride share back home. But MARTA will get me into town, and I'm fine with it. Mask on. Socially distant, the ridership is not up, so the trains aren't packed.
Yeah, well, that's a good
point. I do not have an issue. I do not, and I was just that asked by someone recently who was a Delta flight attendant, and she asked, "What do you think?" I took the train all the time. I live by Lindbergh, and what do you think? I said, "I'm on it kind of every week, maybe every Friday or Sunday afternoon. I'm on going to Midtown, going into areas that." I mean, I should utilize it more, but I don't have a problem. You know, if you're wearing a mask in the store and you're out and about, it would be the same thing on the train.
Well, that's a great point.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. And my vacation will probably, and I'm still, I'm only a couple of weeks out from a vacation, and I would be, I'm still contemplating what to do, but it's probably going to be a driving thing. But I think I'm like a lot of people who are just trying to figure out, gosh, and if I'm going somewhere, what's open?
Well, that's true.
And what's close? Yeah. So, but being on the high race. And the other thing that we saw, and we talked about this with our traffic trooper friend Herschel, big trucker.
Yeah,
about
the truck traffic. I think our last podcast we did was with Herschel.
Yep, the truck traffic does continue to sustain in the overnight, early morning hours. If we're seeing anybody on the roads on those time of days, and it's not private passenger vehicles, it's those truckers who are continuing to bring in supplies into and through Atlanta.
That podcast we did in late April, early May, I'd have to pull it up. That podcast was about how the freight industry is down a lot more than we realized, but I think we've seen since then that it's come back. So I'm glad for Herschel and his industry. And he just won another big Safe Driving Award, too, by the way, a nationwide award. So big props to our man Herschel Evans, their longtime WSB traffic trooper. So let's talk about the trucks there. That's a good transition. You transitioned so smoothly to watermelons. Let's talk about the trucks. This has been a thorn, especially, I feel like, even more so morning drive side than it has been at PM Drive's side, because y'all just have kept such good track of it. And that's the 675 interchange in Stockbridge. As I led my gridlock guy column off with a week ago, it seemed to become a Bermuda Triangle of Atlanta traffic. And we have seen crash after crash, both terrible wrecks and even some that are a little more mundane in that interchange, most of them involving trucks. The frequency goes up a lot in the rain, and it happens more on the southbound side than the northbound side.
Trucks that leave the roadway, and I can only imagine, we've said this plenty of times, whether we're flying in the helicopter with our pilot and videographer, or I'm talking on the two-way system back to our traffic center folks, whoever was in that truck, they took the ride of their lives when they went into that grassy area on 75. That's where they usually end up. If you can envision, if you're a commuter that goes from downtown Atlanta through Clayton County at the I-675 merge, and you continue down toward Stockbridge and McDonough, it's that curve. And I've been down there a few times. I used to have some business down there on a regular basis, but I haven't been recently. But that's where people get caught up. That's where the trucks get caught up on. And we've seen it rainy mornings. I mean, it's like probably any time of day. We see it on the weekends. Our traffic team will spotlight that. What did they tell you, Doug?
So I talked to DOT, and I know there's been some inquiry with them before. And I guess I think this is okay to say. We were starting to think, gosh, are we the only ones noticing this? Is this something that, because we have a different perspective than the DOT does, in a way. You know, we're sometimes a little more closer to the ground to what's going on, I think, than some of the decisions that get made. And that's why we have such a good relationship with them, so they can probe us and, you know, ask us ideas. So I reached out and I said, hey, are you all seeing this trend, and is anything being done about it? And spokesperson Natalie Dale, we had a Zoom call, you know, gotta love that, right? So our Zoom or Teams or whatever it was, and she had some really good perspective. Number one is not only, have we not noticed, we've definitely noticed it, they have. They say that it often involves excessive speed. And keep in mind, truckers are not people that, like your everyday commuter, you guys that are driving to and from Stockbridge every day or wherever. They're coming from out of town. And so what they've done, the first thing they did is at the beginning of the month here in June, they put up some signs in each direction just simply reminding people, hey, there's a curve ahead, because this is a curved area. This interchange was reshaped a little bit, and some of the vegetation taken out of the area, so it's a little more slippery now when it rains, but it was reshaped when they built the express lanes in 2017. So she said they put signs up in each direction. The next step is that there's going to be a beacon that's certainly on the southbound side. I don't know about northbound, but it's going to communicate with an in-cab navigation system that a lot of trucks have called DriveWise. Huh. And it's going to tell them when they're entering the curve, just period. It's just going to be like a push alert. It's going to come up on their screen, much like our Triple T Traffic Alerts app works when you enter a zone and we start talking. It's going to come up and say, hey, dangerous curve ahead. And it's going to be smart enough to, if the truck is having excessive speed, it's going to actually have a different messaging for them, like, hey, you need to slow down.
Right.
So they, and then the last part of her answer, and I thought this is the part that encouraged me the most, is that the area is due for a repave anyway, and some concrete slab rehabilitation, they call that. They're looking at putting a different texture of asphalt down that has more grip, and if their studies show it's necessary, during that repaving process, actually reshaping the road to try to straighten it out a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So it's good. There are short-term fixes and long-term fixes that are on the books. Not, the last part I just said is not 100% for sure, but they're going to explore how to create more grip down there. Something that she wasn't aware of was, I was saying, other truckers have told us before, and we've talked about it on this podcast, is with the lack of vegetation there, when it rains, that what the sheen, if you will, or the clay or whatever washes out of the median and makes it even more slippery than the average road. So if you have a curve, a big truck that's harder to maneuver, other people that are driving too fast around the truck they have to react to, and it's a sharp curve and you're from out of town, you've got several factors that can create this Bermuda Triangle.
Well, maybe the truckers are getting the alerts on the east side perimeter and the hairpin curve that gave us so many problems for years, ramping from the Interloop 285 south to I-20 east. Then maybe they're getting those similar alerts because we've seen a definite reduction of rollover crashes there.
And Traffic Trooper Herschel was a big part in the story that Channel 2 did on that several years ago, by the way, that all it took... That interchange is due for a redesign still years from now. And it was years ago, multiple years ago, that decrease happened. And it was simply, they signed the heck out of that place. They put signs, and it was just southbound to eastbound. It wasn't the other curves, but southbound to eastbound was such a harsh turn. There are signs like every 6 feet that have the arrow that points you to the left, like you're going to have to turn and say it's slow. There's an expletive on the sign. I don't know, but slow down.
Because that load shift will happen, and we've seen it so many times over there. Yeah. But it has been – we haven't had as many recently.
Yeah, and look, folks, when you're driving around these trucks, I don't care if you're driving on I-10 through Texas in a straight line or if you're in an area where conditions require more attention, you cannot make – instant moves around these trucks to say, and they can't react the same way you can to things. So if you're trying to, you know, play peekaboo between trucks and shifting lanes off, they have to react to that, and it takes a long time for them to slow down, and they're not carrying a stationary load like you are. It could be watermelons in there.
It could be.
We need to save the water. Save the watermelons.
That's it, right?
That's pretty much all we're trying
to get at.
Exactly
right.
So some answers there for 75 and 675. Looking ahead construction-wise, I still think our top construction story is the 400-285 interchange. What we've seen in the past week, a couple of the Glen Ridge access, I think the 285 was a little bit limited this past weekend, but even more so, Smiling, the 400 North ramp to exit 5B, Abernathy westbound, has been completely shut down, and everybody is having to use just the 5A exit, which normally sends people toward Dunwoody. Mm-hmm. And some people don't even know that exit's called Abernathy, all right? They just say, oh, it's the Dunwoody-Sandy Springs exit. Right. Well, the Sandy Springs part's closed, but now you can use the, quote, Dunwoody part to turn left or right and access both ways.
Will that stack up that exit at times, do you think? We'll have because we did have double access. You could go east or west using two separate ramps. Now we're reduced to one. What we're seeing with that project, by the way, in the early morning hours, significant traffic pacing on 285 and 400.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start our day at 4 o'clock, and all of a sudden you've got a red alert on 285, and it has to do with the fact that Sandy Springs Police, Georgia State Patrol, Department of Transportation Police are pulling everybody, their crews, off to the right, and they have to shut down all the lanes. So we see significant slowing there. And I, throughout the morning, always warn motorists, you know, coming through that 400 corridor, just, you know, watch for crews coming into those lanes because that is an active zone. And one morning I saw them spraying street washers that was washing down one of the ramps during rush hour. He was slowing all the traffic from 400 south to 285 west just to keep that ramp all wet because those trucks are in and out of there all day. But it's a massive project. A massive project, Doug, but the traffic is down. A massive project that may involve toll lanes. We have toll lanes along I-75. Yeah. We have toll lanes on both sides of 75. And people are still utilizing them. And we were trying to figure that out in the chopper that, well, maybe businesses are paying for these folks who are paying, they're paying their monthly, their fee to take the express lanes in from Cobb County because you don't have to use them. But then again, I think people love the need for speed, too, and roll down those express lanes. That's been interesting.
Everybody uses those.
Yeah, yeah.
The only ones to me that are, well, 75 does have some wrecks sometimes, so I guess that's worth it. The only ones to me are those south side ones right now, which have always remained the cheapest of our three toll lane systems that we have right now in Metro Atlanta. The south side ones, if you can catch them when they're pointed in the direction you need to go and there are delays, I mean, jump in there and pay your 50 cents or $1.50 and save a lot of time.
If you do use the express lanes and you're listening to this podcast and you have the ability to speak back to us, Twitter or Facebook, why are you in those express lanes when traffic is basically, I wouldn't say non-existent, but as light as it is throughout the mornings, unless there's a problem?
Yeah, please do. Reach out. I'm on Smiling Mark McKay, and I are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find us easily just by naming the search bar and
We're curious.
If you find the Doug Turnbull that's the gun maker in Texas, it's not me.
Okay.
Just saying. But it's,
I didn't know about it.
It's okay, though. He's a good guy. He's reached out to me before.
Okay.
But definitely reach out and let us know why you're using those express lanes. That's a good idea, Smiling. I think people use them out of habit, you know, and they maybe... Maybe they got their
Who's paying for it?
Maybe they got their parents' credit cards on there.
Yeah.
They're still being enforced, although people have told me about varying levels of enforcement, too. So,
and that's another segue into that, because I think with all that had been going on spring, let's basically say from the spring on through the early summer months now, whether it's COVID or the protests that have developed, and you and your team in the afternoon, I was a listener out on the streets of Buckhead walking and having the radio app in my ear and hearing what was going on. I haven't seen as many Georgia State patrolmen and such along the interstates, and now the protesting is starting to ramp down. They may be ramping up the enforcement. Law enforcement has had their hands full around the Metro Atlanta area, North Georgia.
Well, they really have, for sure. I mean, not only you have to, we look at this as taxpayers or as people from the outside and just think of law enforcement or firefighters or anyone as this is just this unending resource. But there's a fixed number. If you have to apportion 3 dozen state troopers to go deal with a protest in Atlanta, that's 3 dozen state troopers that are not out on the interstates or responding to calls for crashes. And on days like, for instance, days we have the president or vice president come through town. We've had that happen with the Veep a couple of times in the last few weeks. The state patrol doesn't handle crashes like they normally do for the city of Atlanta. So that means it goes back to onto APD and to Cobb PD and Gwinnett PD, who all apportion their non-injury crashes to the state patrol. So when you have to pull in APD or wherever the protest is, a lot of times it's in the city of Atlanta, that has to come from somewhere. And with all this talk about what to do with police funding and defunding the police or they shouldn't crack down on this or that, I understand that there are some judgment crimes, I guess, or things that probably don't fit the punishment, and then that opens up the door to allow for discrimination, so that certain groups of the population get pulled over for really small infractions and others don't. But if someone rear-ends you on the downtown connector, you're supposed to call the police so you can have a police report so your insurance can have it. And suddenly those insurance seminars, as a cohort of ours calls those, that can't happen the right way. And maybe you need police to help you in an emergency situation, change a tire or whatever. So it's just something to consider. And I don't have the numbers in front of me, but literally it's by a factor of 100. Like 1/100th of the traffic stops are happening right now in the city of Atlanta in comparison to a 3-week period during another time pre-protest. That's a staggering number to me.
Oh, yeah.
And for me, I love the police. Sometimes traffic enforcement is over the top, I think. You know, I've seen it happen the wrong way. I've been on the wrong end of that stick many times. But we don't want people out there thinking that they can drag race on the interstates and do donuts and shut them down and drive 120 miles an hour past you and put people in danger.
Well, what we've seen is the ability that technology can play into this. If you do it, and you're bold enough to do it, and some would say stupid enough to do that, there are so many cameras looking at you, and there's so many recording devices, and it's interesting how people are found out, whether they're the interstate folks are out there, or what they, and that fortunately has calmed down as well. Hopefully, knock on wood, we won't have a repeat of that this summer. But
we essentially have less wide open spaces right now. More people are out and about. And one thing that has to, I think, be discussed a little bit is, will we see? So we've seen what's been kind of a pyramid shape, an inverted pyramid shape of traffic volume. It went down. And then it slowly, it's probably not even a pyramid shape, but it went a sharp down, and then it's kind of been a slow up, almost like an L or a Nike check or something like that. Yeah. But I wonder if we're going to be on the down again. I wonder if shutdowns will happen again. If the corona cases continue to go up, the death rate has actually continued to go down, but in a lot of places that have opened up, the case has gone up. So that's another thing to consider when you're making your long-term plans about if you're planning to go back to work or not.
Well, from the coming off a weekend that we're taping this on a Monday, I was talking to some folks who work in the industry, the service industry, and they did notice a reduction of folks who would come in from initially where everybody wanted to get out and be out in restaurants. There was, at least this past weekend, a slowdown there, which means people are staying at home, which means they're not on the roads.
Yeah. The reservation thing I find is interesting, how restaurant reservations have gone down, but then we still see that there are a lot of cases coming out of bars and more casual places. So I don't know. Any parting shots, Smiling, here as we
No, we're heading into the summer months. It does feel like a punch in the gut just when you think that you're doing okay with COVID, and then stories come out. I personally feel like, because I'm an optimistic person, that maybe we can get past this and get back to whatever, like the governor said, the new normal. But we persevere, and now we head into the summer months, and we wonder what the fall holds.
Yeah.
Generally, starting in August, school systems go back and the big yellow buses start rolling in the neighborhoods and subdivisions, and we warn people of that. Will that take effect? Basically, we can say stay tuned.
If traffic is still only 10% down statewide, but it's caused a 90% reduction in morning drive delays, so not in overall volume, but in the amount of delays. If it's caused still, I'd say, a 30 to 50% reduction delays in the afternoon, what a difference that 10 to 20% makes of less cars on the road. It's made all the difference in the world, frankly. And I think it might be the same with schools. The influx of traffic you would get on the roads from having schools open up. Well, if you just had 10% less kids going to school because they had the virtual option, which is what some of the major districts are giving to parents right now, the virtual option. I mean, that could mean the whole back to school traffic thing. It doesn't mean that you need 0% kids going back. You just mean maybe 20% less kids going back.
Yeah, I know one of your sporting passions came back, even though fans aren't allowed in the stands and limited media in NASCAR. Yeah. I'm a college football fan, and I don't know if that's going to make an appearance this year.
Well, they're going to cancel Clemson. I think Clemson has been canceled.
You want Alabama to be canceled, so everybody else has a chance?
I would love Alabama to be canceled. But it's trying to figure out NASCAR is a non-contact sport. I mean, the cars make contact, but I've noticed, though, they've already had some fans back at two different races, and they're going to have up to 30,000 fans on July the 15th for the All-Star race in Tennessee, in Bristol, Tennessee, which... Well, I'll just save that for another podcast.
And which one is that?
Five to go. Yeah, we were going to record today. We're going to record tomorrow. It's dead. With their Von Hessler, Dan Ellie. But NASCAR has gotten a little bit less restrictive on some of the things where they've meant to or not, whereas drivers weren't supposed to be in contact with anybody. Now you see them intermingling on pit road and that kind of thing. But NASCAR has been able to do that. With football and baseball and all these, I don't see how you're not going to have a spike. And even if it's asymptomatic cases, with or without fans, that's going to be really tough to pull that off and to have a full season or the seasons they have scheduled.
You're taping this podcast wearing a Braves hat, though.
Oh, hey.
So you have hope.
Yeah, I do. And by the way, if this is the year the Braves were to win the World Series, they have this asterisk World Series.
Right next to
I know 95 was strike shortened too, but that was a month. Right. Like, we're literally going to play 37% of a season. And if if that was the one where the Braves win the championship, duh.
And they're still not respected.
That would be so Atlanta.
That's true.
That's another. Look, Jay Black will go in depth on this, I'm sure, at some point, and talk about that. My parting shot was, I wanted to say, is that despite the 10% being down, is again, what a difference just a few cars off the roads make. How much better, you listening right now, is your life that you're able to maybe sit at home and listen to this podcast or listen to the Von Hessler Doctrine or anything on 95.5 WSB in your earbuds or your home smart speaker while you're working and not worry about Nancy, who is annoyed by everybody telling you to turn your radio down because she doesn't like conservative talk shows. Okay,
Nancy,
it's always Nancy or Karen, right? We could say Karen.
They're friends.
They're your friend Nancy and Karen. There's all the time. There's Nancy. Your life has gotten dramatically better. And then when you do have to drive, you have less people on the roads, less delays to contend with. It only takes a little bit of difference to make a lot of difference.
But just remember, we're on duty for you 24/7.
Absolutely.
Flying the only airborne traffic mornings and afternoons, and 24/7 at the traffic center, of course. The app, which hear a lot of good things about it.
Yeah, Triple Team Traffic Alert Tab. We're still there. It never slept. Our traffic center never went unstaffed during this whole time during the shutdown. And now things are back in a lot of ways on weekends and afternoon drive and everything. So be sure to download that. Get our automatic audio alerts free. As you drive, we'll just talk to you if you leave the app open. I want to say real quick as we sign off here, this is Monday, the 29th, and this is our buddy Steve Winslow's last day as our overnight reporter. We've had some changes at Cox Media Group and some downsizing that was actually scheduled to happen before the shutdown was even going to happen, and Steve was one of the people that the position that we couldn't keep anymore, and We love Steve Winslow.
Yes,
Steve is a lion heart. He is just somebody that he comes in and he gives his all every shift. And we hope in the future we're still able to work with Steve some again. But as far as his full-time duties as our overnight guy, those end actually this evening. So a big cheers to Steve Winslow. If ever there was a guy that embodied what the principles that Captain Herb believed in, both in the community and out, he was a guy, Mark, smiling, that, I mean, in the middle of when he was supposed to be asleep, you know, 12 p.m., 1 p.m., because, again, he's an overnight guy. He showed up at Trafficker Meatman's funeral.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he feels like out of all the different things, showing up at people's funerals and visiting fans is like the thing he's called to do. And the guy would stay up late on Thursday mornings to do his bread run with his church and then bring a bunch of extra bread back to the grocery store, stop selling, and bring it to the station. He would stay up an extra couple hours. He could have been sleeping and would have been justified to have been sleeping. So I really want to say a big cheers to Steve Winslow, and I know Smiling, you and I feel similarly about that.
Well, we're a family, and we hate that we all can't see each other in these circumstances. We miss our teammates, and we miss the family reunions that Captain Herb and the Toys for Tots drive brought us together. And whenever a family member leaves us, in no matter what circumstance, we will miss them, especially with the big heart, the big pop he had. He and I hailed from New England, so we have a lot of that in common, and so we're going to miss him, but like you said, hopefully he'll come back, at least do some work for us on the weekends.
We'd love to have that in the future. And Steve, by the way, is in very good spirits about all that, despite the changes. He's been on this rodeo, and this happens. These comings and goings of radio happen quite a bit. And frankly, you know, he's been with us 8 years, and he's fortunate to have stuck that long in comparison to a lot of radio jobs. It's a very mercurial industry. So, and we feel, Smiling and I feel privileged to stick around as well. So, a couple things that we mentioned the charity stuff, and we'll leave on this note. We still have our carathon, the Athlete Cancer Center Carathon for Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. That is going to take place July 25th and 26th. And Smiling, I know you'll have various hosting duties both in the call center and on the show. I saw you and Wes Moss are going to have a show together.
Traffic team will take an hour.
Our traffic team show will be on Thursday the 25th. So be sure and plan to go ahead and set aside some funds to give to that. We will not be at the hospital. This will be very much a virtual campaign, so it'll be a little bit different than what we've had in the past. And I have a call later on today with a traffic trooper disc golf driver, Mike Haney. And his disc golf community, they're still hoping to have a Toys for Tots tournament and raise funds for that. And that kind of has been, it was an addition to, now it's sort of in lieu of the Toys for Tots event we had at Fred's barbecue house. So I'm going to talk to him and see. And, you know, WSB, we're not doing any remote events right now. I mean, Smiling, I haven't had any Publix remotes or any promotions, anything. So we don't know exactly what this event will hold, but we certainly hope that you'll have it in your mind to both donate to Children's Healthcare of Atlanta and to Toys for Tots a little bit later this year.
And there,
or now. You can just do it right now.
We're not alone.
Back
in May, Katie Walls, who recently left WSB TV to take a position up in Charlotte, and I with Relay for Life for Cancer, American Cancer Society, that all went away. That was done virtually. So many causes that need your help through this year will continue, but it just it'll be in a different way, in a different vein than we're used to. But we want to get back out in the community and see you guys sooner than later.
Yeah, for sure. And we've all been hit in different ways by the change in the economy, whether it's a little side gig Smiling and I both had that you have a little bit less of, or whether it's your actual job. But we're still called to be generous in the ways that we can. So we definitely hope that you're able to do that. So thank you all for tuning in, and please drive safely out there. The pop-up storms are a thing almost every day now. You can go from sun to pouring rain to slick roads in the sunshine, which is just a terrible mix. So be sure to stay with the PM Drive traffic team, feels the brunt of that. But Smiling in the mornings, you have them too. So
we do.
We want you to be safe out there. So with Smiling Mark McKay, I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull, and on behalf of the rest of the traffic team, we thank you for listening and hope you tune back in shortly and drive safe.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.